Hello and welcome to Chat Shit Get Well, episode 17 with Donna Wright.
Hello.
Hey Donna, long time no see. Literally has been ages, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw you earlier today, but I mean, like in general, I've not been on here for a while.
It feels like
what's
so long.
What's been happening?
Well, last time I was here, I was a year younger and I had different colour hair.
Oh, you did? Lots
and
changed.
I was a year younger.
Yeah, happy birthday. It's Donna's birthday
you
today.
Today
we're going to do a little chat about parenting. So we've done a little poll on our socials and threw like a couple of questions out. So we're just going to read through them and have a little chat. You know how it goes. Just flows. Go with the flow. Go with the flow.
Let's flow out.
I did want to say something, though, about the sign, because I do feel like it's a massive reach at the moment. And I genuinely feel really awkward sat next to it right now because I feel like I'm, you know, I'm
lies.
I have not been dieting and I have not been training to my fullest capabilities. So I've either got to update the sign or I've got to update my body and I haven't decided which one it's going to be. But bear with us. We'll see how that goes. So anyway, as we put in the poll on our Instagram, TikTok and Facebook.
Yeah.
So we put on there, what makes a bad parent? And the first comment from Tammy said, staying in a toxic relationship. I think we both have had experiences of staying in toxic relationships.
Like,
yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, yeah, definitely 100%. I don't think it makes you a bad parent. It's a bad decision. But.
Definitely a bad decision. I think it depends in the relationship as well. Like, is it toxic between you and your partner or your partner and the kids? Do you know what I mean? It's different.
I mean, even if it's toxic between your partner and yourself, it's the kids are going to affect the kids, isn't it? You find that there's like, you don't really see it at the time though. That's the thing. I don't think it's not really a choice as a parent sometimes, because I think when you're in that sort of situation,
it's hard to get out. People don't just choose. Oh yeah, like.
Well, yeah. When someone's being toxic towards you, you're also like brainwashed. So you don't really understand what's happening. So yeah. I mean, it's definitely. Yeah. Not a great choice to choose to be in a toxic relationship, but the best thing to get out of it.
Yeah, you can safely.
Yeah, you just think like how much time you wasted in those sorts of relationships and you think, God. Yeah. I mean, I probably should have left my relationship like 4 years before I actually left.
I probably should have left mine about 10. About 10
about
years.
About 70% of your relationship you should have left.
Literally about 70% of my relationship I should have left. And I just thought, probably tired. Do you know when you think 100, when you start making excuses for someone else's behaviour, that's when you know. That's when it should, should go off and you think all the excuses that you're making.
100%, yeah.
Really,
definitely.
They're just a knob.
I notice that we say 100% a lot, and I don't even say that when I'm not with you. It's just when we're on this podcast, we go 100%, 100%.
Or we like, yeah.
I don't ever say that in real life.
And in general, I don't go, yeah, when I'm talking, like, mum, yeah. Like, I just don't know. Maybe you could just sit in here and you're chilling, so it's just like...
Yeah, we should do another one where we have a couple of drinks, so that'd be hilarious.
Oh yeah, chat shit after dark.
We only record during the day time because we've got the kids, so it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah.
We do like a late night podcast, couple of glasses of the old vino. Anyway, another one that was sent in via Facebook was allowing your child to eat too much fast food and not controlling their sugar intake. I'm a bad parent.
Like,
I'm going to hell.
Yeah, literally. And do you know what, yeah? And when the fast food thing, I have autistic children. And that's nothing to do with fast food, but it goes hand in hand, whereas they only eat certain foods. So they don't eat fast food all the time, Mason. A little bit does. But yeah, the sugar, as long as you can, I think, control one and the other, it's not as bad, not too bad. But,
yeah.
Depending on what fast food.
My daughter's very like... She's not obviously diagnosed, but she is very fussy with her food. She literally likes beige food. Everything has to be beige. Everything has to be dry.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, sometimes at the fast food, like McDonald's nuggets.
It's chicken nuggets and chips,
cheeseburger, plain cheeseburger. Like that beige food, sometimes the only thing that she'll eat. And sometimes I can be asked to do because I'm so tired from the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll just go and pick her up like a hamburger or a hamburger meal, a happy meal.
But...
We do try to introduce other foods, and my son eats a lot of food. He loves his food. He's a proper big boy.
But my Roman's a bit of a unit, a beautiful unit. But
he
eats a mix. But he could have fruit, veg all day. He doesn't always, but he could have like a very, very balanced diet. He doesn't just eat crap food. Mm. He does have
vegetables. He does enjoy to have like...
Yeah, and stuff as well. It's just...
I remember one day I went to pick my dropped something off to Donna, and I thought that my son Kendrick had got out of my car and walked into Donna's house, and it was Donna's son.
Same.
They are absolute units, and they're just like their little,
and their
little
hair as well.
Yeah, they're, at the time both of their hair was like overgrown,
proper,
weren't it?
Yeah, proper
and I looked
light
in the back of the car, and Kendrick looked at me and he went, "I know what you're going to say, Mum."
But it's funny because Roman was sort of looking at him as well, thinking,
"Have I got in that car?
Hold on a minute. Can I see myself?"
Yeah, no. My son loves his food, and my son has now. You know that I get to the point where they don't have Happy Meals anymore. They have freaking
adult meals,
Big Mac meals. My son will go, "I've got like, right. You can get a Happy Meal. Nah, Mum, I'm having a Big Mac meal. Dad gets me a Big Mac meal." So he does that like thing where he makes you feel bad. Like,
yeah.
Well, Dad gets me a Big Mac. Can you not get me a Big Mac?
Like, damn it.
Damn you. And I'm like, all right, then I'll let you have it. Only if you've got the vouchers.
Only because child benefits come in tomorrow. I'm joking.
McDonald's is so expensive.
It's so expensive
it's
now.
It's so expensive, like 30 quid for four of us to eat. And I think I could go to Nando's for that.
Literally. I maybe
used
to be $1.99.
I've been Nando's for ages. Nah.
Nando's is like, I love Nando's, but the chicken, I swear, when it comes to my house, it's like they give me the skinniest chickens.
What is going on?
I don't
on?
Want a size 8 chicken.
Why are they
chicken?
Feeding the chickens in Nando's they farms? Ain't. They're not feeding them.
No, they're not.
I don't know what they're doing. They're taking the absolute...
biscuit on
there,
this one.
That's the one I was going to say. Honestly.
The absolute
God.
Chicken wing.
I went there last time, actually. It wasn't 30 quid, it's 50 quid.
Yeah.
For me, the two kids and my partner to eat, 50 quid. And yeah, I went full.
No, you're
and
not.
There's nothing worse than paying up 50 quid and not being full from it.
No, it's like depressing.
So I go Pepe's. Pepe's the place to
I
be,
like
guys.
Pepe. Yeah, good chicken and rice.
They probably fill their chickens with all sorts of chemicals and saline water, but I'm not asking questions. Steroids, even better. I might start looking like that again.
Fills you up, fuck it.
Oh, this one. Letting your kids drink, smoke, and vape. Well, it said slash.
Yeah. I suppose I suppose they should have elaborated on that answer. Like, if you under like,
how old?
How old? If they're 18, no one cares. But if you know, if your child, like 12, 13, and they are vaping and drinking, you might want to.
It's a difficult one because I've not reached that age yet. I mean, you have with yours.
My
you've
oldest
got,
is 18.
Your oldest is 18. Yeah, so you've obviously gone through that like 16, 17. Yeah. Where they're like, oh, I'm going out drinking.
And
and
he doesn't go out drinking. He's been to the pub once. He's 18. He loves his boxing and he loves his crosses, like his dirt bikes.
Oh, I just broke my ankle.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
My Harvey's 15. He doesn't give a shit about vaping. Doesn't care to vape or drink or anything like that. No offence, he does love to spend too much money in Primark and Greggs. Like, he will happily do that. But
worse for your health, Greggs or freaking
vaping? But my Harvalicious is so honest. He'll come up to me like, yeah, my friends vape, they do this. Like, I don't know whether he's honest or stupid sometimes because he tells me everything. So even though I love his honesty, I'm like, oh, really? So your friends are doing what? He tells me so much
but I think
that he doesn't.
Be like... aware like, that that's going to happen, isn't it? I'd rather my kid tell
nothing.
Me. Yeah, no, but it's good that they feel comfortable enough to tell you that, and you're not going to obviously judge them or have a go at them.
Just ask where they got it from.
But I think, give me some of that, boy. I used to, when I was a teenager, we used to go out and take loads of drugs. Me and my friends, we used to go out and take like ecstasy. And I know I say teenager, like 16, I was working. We used to go and take like ecstasy and all sorts of stuff. And we got raving underage. Yeah. But one of my friend's parents, she knew we all took drugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she used to say to us, right, if you guys are going to take drugs, because she was a really like sister mum relationship with her mum. She was like, if you guys are going to take drugs, you come to my house and you take the drugs.
I said that to my kids.
And she used to, And I felt so safe in her company. And she would even sometimes get the drugs for us. Not as like a pimp. We could get our drugs anywhere. Yeah. I could get pills anywhere.
She just wanted to make sure you're safe.
But she wanted to make sure that we were getting the right stuff and we were in a safe environment. Yeah. And I think that was quite a good thing for her to do because I would never have had that safety anywhere else. And, I could have gone out clubbing. Something bad could have happened. I would have still gone out and take those drugs. You know what I mean? My friends would have still gone out and take those drugs. Yeah. But we'd have done it in different environments and unsafe environments.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's quite like that made me realise that obviously as my children grow up, that I do need to have more open conversations with them. And they do need to know what things are because as soon as you... hide so much from your children. They don't know. They want to experiment and they want to explore.
And the more you say no, they seem to think, ooh.
It's like when my friend, yeah, he was at school and he's a vegetarian at school and he used to come to my house and have a sausage all the time. He used to come and be like, oh, Tess, give us a sausage. His parents didn't let him eat meat. They were like, no, you're not allowed to eat meat. Like, they were completely like, nothing was meat in their house.
Wow.
He'd come to my house, he couldn't get enough of the old sausage.
Mixed grill. Love it.
He was like, oh,
loving it.
He loved it. And that's what I mean. They're rebels. Yeah. So don't isolate them from things. They need to be sort of exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose exposed and conversations. Like in Amsterdam, drugs are very open, sex education is very wide. Like they teach their children from young age about drugs and sex. And they've got the lowest teenage pregnancy rates I don't know where that stat came from. In Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam.
Where's
the UK? Like.
I think it might be in Europe.
Yeah.
It might be the world. I don't know. I'll have a look at the stats after. I might post them underneath.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, so that one. Yeah, I mean, I probably will. If Beau was like 14, oh God, don't call up the, what they called, NSPCC. If Beau was like 14, 15, it was her birthday. She said, Mum, we'll have an alcohol pop. I'd let her have an alcohol pop.
Oh yeah, if my kid said to me, Mum, can I have an alcoholic drink? I'm like,
if she's smoking and vaping, absolutely not. But if she wanted an alcohol pop in my company, yeah, at least she's going to be okay, fine. But I really don't think she'll care because she's just...
No. And it's like my friend, like my kid's friend as well. Like if they come to my house, I'm never mention names, but you know, if they come to my house and wanted to have a little smoke in the garden, I'd rather them do it around me so I know they're safe. Mm. Obviously their parents know. Then went outside and was found somewhere. I used to go out with my friends at 14, 15, sorry, Mum, and drink vodka in a field. We all lied to each other's parents, we're staying there. We'd be out doing all-nighters, doing this, that, and whatever. Like, it's crazy. I'd hate for my kids to
doing
that.
We all used to do that. We used to get a tent and we'd go out with boys and we would camp
group
in the middle of the field, freezing our asses off, puking up, taking all sorts of drink and drugs, and our parents would think we were having a nice little girly sleepover.
And anything could have happened.
I don't think they cared. I think they were quite happy to get rid of us.
Literally,
see you later.
They probably put something in our drink. I'm joking.
We used to nick my dad didn't used to have spirits, and we used to fill them up with water.
Yeah.
Afterwards, I never got caught for that. Sorry, Dad.
It's when you take it yourself and you realise it's just water. And
I think it's because my dad only drinks spirits when he's absolutely wasted.
So
my dad would get on the beers, and he'd have to have about 12 beers, and then he'd be like, oh, bring out the shorts. He calls them the shorts, and he probably has been drinking them as water for years and didn't even realise, because he was so drunk. Anyway, back to the doodah. Letting your kids spend all the time on their computers. Guilty.
Do you know what? It's a hard one because... Since COVID, that was the wrong word. We're going to have to edit this out. But since COVID, I think it's been, a lot of people are on their consoles, but a lot of people are scared to go out.
Yeah.
So my thing is, like, my kids are on consoles, they're not on consoles. But I know people that don't have too many friends and they make friends on the console. Mm, but then I know people that go out and do stupid shit with their friends. So I don't, do you know what that one to me is like, you should be allowed to play on your console. Why not? But then don't be glued to it.
Moderation.
Like if your console is taking over, like your kid's not barfing and eating and screaming the house down because we all know, oh my God, what game for? Like, revive me! Oh my God! It's like, monitor. Instead of having a phone though, isn't it? Just monitor it. Like everything should be monitored.
I say to the kids, like I try to explain to them what the impact is of not socializing and impact of spending too much time on your games and the impact of me being on my phone. Like they'll say to me, Mum, get off your phone. You know, they'll pick me up. So I'll pick them up and I'll say, right, you've been on your computer for too long. Your breath stinks. Go brush your teeth.
You've been wearing trousers for 3 days.
You know, when was the last time you got in the bath? No, joking. But no, genuinely, like, they'll come home from school. Well, Kendrick will come home from school. He'll be, like, straight on his game. And then it got to the point where he was like, I don't want to eat dinner with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit in my room and eat my dinner. And his dad's very relaxed about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, look, you need to at least make that effort to come down, have your dinner, get yourself in your bath, brush your teeth, blah, blah, blah. If you want to go back and play your game before you go to bed, then you can do. However, it is a constant row and a constant argument, even now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's not, but I think, you know, the difference between boys and girls, boys do want to play on their games more. Girls more just want to like play and do like different, like Bolo's doing whatever she doesn't know, like crafting and...
Yeah, they do like jewellery making and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, their brains work, you know, they are different.
They're creative.
But I think it is, you know... It's hard, man. It's hard being a parent. And sometimes having that couple of hours after school where he's on his console and I can...
It's nice.
Yeah, and I can do the housework and I can cook the dinner. And because if he's not on that console, oh my God, he's literally hanging from my earlobes. Like, you know, and I don't think that makes you a bad parent. I think it's just about having a cutoff point to say.
I think parents need a break as well, though.
Parents should be so
and walk into the shop is not a break. Like, and when people go to me, oh, but you get a break, you know, you go food shopping. I'm sorry, that's not a break.
My friend loves food shopping.
Yeah,
she hasn't got any kids though, to be fair. But she came over from Australia last week, and I've never spent so long in Home Bargains before. Like, it was looking at the food section. She was like proper like looking at all the packaging and
reads all the back and stuff.
Ages, and I was like, you ain't got kids, mate, because we do our food shipping in 25 minutes.
Boom, boom, boom.
We've
boom.
Got a list. We're in and out. We're done.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh. So computer games, alcohol. I mean, three of the things in the thing here, I'm thinking, maybe I am a bad parent.
Do you know what? The funny thing is, though, I don't think there's anything, there's not really a good parent, a bad parent. I think everyone copes and manages differently.
Yeah.
Like, do you know when we had the conversation of, do you know, you could get a woman who, her kids never, they don't have consoles. She probably lives in a farm. I don't know. I'm just making this shit up now. Yeah. She probably, her kids only eat organic food, this and that. So if she met any other parent whose kids, you know, lift off McDonald's or was on their game console, she would be like, oh my God. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then the other woman would be like, what, your kids don't social? Do you know what I mean? So I think, and I'm not beating the shit out of your kids, really. Like, like physically, like really, really abusing them. Then fuck it. What are you gonna do? I'm joking. I tried to finish off that sentence and I couldn't finish. I was like, fuck it. But no, I think everyone tries their best, and parenting is not easy.
Yeah,
and we all do our best.
Not everyone tries their best.
No, not everyone does. I'm just trying to be nice now. But no.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're trying and you know you're trying to work, you're doing your best you can. But I mean, a lot of people don't do that.
And if you don't have your kids, please don't give me parent advice. Like, I've been through this plenty of times with people.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry to be a dick when I say this, but if, you know, everyone has their own situations, but, and I have children on the spectrum and not on the spectrum. And I always appreciate advice from anywhere, but if you don't have custody of children, you don't have them in your life, please do not reach out and give me advice. It will backfire on yourself. Take your own advice and that's amazing for you, but just don't reach out and give me advice if, you know, you don't know my situation.
I think when I didn't have kids, I gave more advice than when I do have kids. Genuinely, look, I felt like I was so much more judgmental on how people should be parents, because I was like, when I'm a parent, I'm going to do this and everything's going to be great.
That's what you think, don't you?
They eat strawberries and watermelon for breakfast every day. You know, they're going to have like, you know, this
they're
organic
perfect,
life, and they're going to be like, you know, they're never going to have snot running from their nose, and they're always going to brush their
teeth,
and they're
going to
wake up and be happy, and they wouldn't be moody or rude. And I know, like, reality slapped me around the face, and I was like, wow, this is hard. Like, this is hard work. And, but obviously before you have kids, unless you live that life, you never understand the difficulties and like the challenges that go with it. Because looking outside in looks so easy. And when other people's kids are around you, they're different characters of themselves. They're different personalities. Whereas when they're with their parents, they're like...
Oh yeah, kids are beautiful assholes. Do you know how many times the kids have been well behaved and I've got home and I'm like, what happened? What happened? Did you open the front door?
Let me take this mask off.
And I'm like, from the car park to the door, like, what happened? But they say that if kids feel safe around one of the, like, certain parents,
so
it could be mums or their dads, and they
genuinely
misbehave a little bit more.
Yeah, they just feel like completely like they can relax and be themselves, which is a nice thing.
Yeah,
but at the same
nice
time, it's absolutely exhausting.
Yeah, like 24 hours a day, bro. Like, come on, 24 hours a day. Let's just chill for a minute.
And that's why I just really don't feel like, you know, with the consoles and stuff like that, they are a saving grace for me sometimes, particularly with my son, because he can be a full on, you know.
And my son, one of my kids is severely autistic and he's nonverbal. He doesn't play with any toys. So his only thing that he will go on to is an iPad. So if I was to take that off him, and we try and get him jigsaws and other things like that, but unfortunately, and it's just like 10 seconds of that he rewinds, come on over there, chicka, 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 chicka. That's what he does on his iPad constantly. So if I was to take that away, that would be his only communication and his only thing he does.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just finding a balance, which is normally my balance goes like this.
But it must be quite difficult having, you know, like obviously, you know, if you've got non-verbal and verbal children, like trying to find a way to satisfy both their needs.
Yeah, because they all have
completely different, like, I don't understand, like, obviously, like, my kids have got different wants and stuff like that, but Rose just texted me just now, actually, Mummy. You know when kids message you and they don't say what you want, what they want, they just put, Mum.
Yeah.
And then you know what's coming, like, what is it? What is it you want, babe?
Yeah. I get that from my halves. Like, I will literally get, like, just 100 messages. And there. Yo.
Yeah, I get that.
And
mommy,
I'll text it back, yo. Then, Mum. Do you know when you think, why don't you start the connection? Mum, can I? Then just let me know.
I would appreciate, especially with my children and also in my business life, if people just tell me what the fuck they want.
Just say, don't be like, you're right. Yeah. Can I ask your question? What's that? It's the most silliest question sometimes. It's like, what?
You've built that up to be something so much more.
I'm generally like, my anxiety's up here now.
I have someone that will message me. I have a lot of clients that will message me. I love my clients, don't get me wrong. I mean, like my tenants. And they'll say, hi, Tez. Then it'll go quiet. Oh.
Hi.
And I say, I fucking know there's something wrong because you've messaged me, right? So, and I'll be doing something else and I'll go, right, I'll let them just message. I'll be like, hi. And then they won't reply.
Yeah.
And then that's in the back of my head and I go, what is it? The boiler? Is the washing machine broken? Is, you know, the door blew off or whatever's going on? And I'm like, literally my eyes twitching then and I'm like, just tell me what you want. Just text me. Tez, the washing machine's broken. Okay, I can action that. Do you know what I mean? Then it ends up getting like this, the conversation will go for like 2 hours before I find out the root cause of it. Or the other one, when people want to borrow money.
Oh, and they do this whole thing
hey,
first.
Hope you're good.
Yeah.
Hope you're good. How's the kids?
I don't suppose, by any chance. If I see someone, by any chance. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You can't, never going to believe what's happened. Oh, yeah. I've had a direct debit come out. Any chance you
any chance. I promise to be back by Monday. By Monday. Monday never comes.
Monday never comes.
Never comes. And then by the following Monday, you've texted me again.
Do you not remember? You already
let me know. Do you know, but it's when people want to borrow money and you think, oh, fine, whatever. And then they don't pay it back or they disappear from the end of the earth.
Do you know what? I'd rather give my money than fall out with someone over it. Do you know
honestly,
what I mean?
Like, yeah, because I'm just like, I'm not
if
doing
someone,
it.
I've never ever been I'm not, well, I don't think I'm unreasonable, but I suppose narcissists say that, don't they?
Yeah.
But if, you know, if I lend someone money and they said, look, Tez, I've had a really shit month, like, I've not been out, I'm not able to pay you back.
Fair
I'm not going to sit there and go, you're a dick. I'll just go, cool, like, when you've got it,
let me
pay
know.
It back.
Yeah.
Or even still, I'll say, don't worry about it. I know sometimes life's a struggle, blah, blah, blah. But when they ignore you and when they just like literally try and delete you out of their life for over 20 quid, you're like...
And then when it comes...
Am I not even worth £20?
Like, and then when it comes back around, you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, how...
How am I the bad guy?
Yeah, like you got helped out and then you chose to, you know, not pay back or... get off weird with, and then it's like, hold on, how are you the one running around now playing victim?
This is why you should literally never help people.
Do you know what? I know. And the thing is that when you stop helping people, like you're the bad person anyway.
You're just the bad, we're just bad people.
We're just bad. We're just bad parents now. We're just bad people, my parents. We should just fucking edit this. We're going to cut this one
should
out.
Should change the subject?
Just cut it out.
Right, anyway, we're going on to, so we asked the poll, what makes a good parent? And the first reply was from Lindsay on TikTok. She put structure, routine, and encouragement. Sounds all right, doesn't it? I wish I had structure.
Encourage my kid to get out of bed. Yeah,
exactly.
Do you know,
yeah,
I would love structure. Do you know what? I can't deal with my own routine sometimes. So trying to get into off as a parent, I find it routines are really good, and you should have a routine. Mm. But it gets when you have more than one child though, and they're on the spectrum, you have. Like, for instance, I probably have four routines now. That's not including my own routine that I would have to do. That would be completely different routines. Mm. So sometimes I love a good routine. Can I follow it? Personally, I try my best.
Yeah.
I'm on like a 40-60 not following it, by the way. 40% not following. Like, I'm trying, but yeah, structuring that is good. But at the same time, oh man.
Yeah. It's hard to keep the structure, and it's hard to keep... I mean, a good thing about the schooling system is that is a very good
structure,
routine
that one,
and structure, isn't it? So every day we know the kids got to get up, we're getting ready and they go to school, and then whatever they do at school, we're fun time Frankie, 6 hours, woo-hoo! We're off, hey, do what we want. But we know that that's in place. Then if you're homeschooling, which obviously I'm doing with Beau, there's a very, very, like... We try to get her, well, she tried to get her up same time as her brother, brush her teeth, start to do some work. Does it go right every day? No, it doesn't. Some days does she not get out of bed till 11?
Of course.
She doesn't. Because sometimes I've got other stuff I've got to get on with. I've got to work and I've got to do everything else. Definitely it's nice. It's a nice idea.
Yeah. If you can do it, like that's great for you.
And I really do like respect people that can
organize
themselves. But I think that's because I think as I sort of get to deal with like the ADHD side of things for me, I feel like I'll probably be in a very good place once I've learned how to structure my days. Mm-hmm. But I constantly double book myself still. I constantly am running late or... you know, things overlap and I get stuck on one task and it makes me so far behind. So finding that structure for my kids is very difficult as well. And no wonder they are hard work. Anyway, next subject. This is making me feel like a really bad parent.
Oh my God, we just need to throw this one away and redo it. A couple more minutes.
Celebrating your child's uniqueness.
Yes.
Allowing them to be themselves.
100%.
Yes.
You should always let your kids be themselves. Like, that's
unless
how they grow confidence.
Being an arsehole.
Yeah, unless they're a little knob, then
Because some parents, they let their kids get away with absolute nightmare. And you see them like having arguments at the school and arguments over social media about their diamond of a child. And you think, your kid's a dick.
Literally,
your kid
a dick.
Is an absolute dick. And I'd like to think that if my child was behaving like that, I would be able to see past that. Adoration of my child to realise my kid's a dick and I need to put it in place and tell them
tell
that kid you're a dick, like don't treat people like that, don't do stupid things that are going to upset people,
don't be malicious, man.
People like all this, you know, happy slapping and all these like you're still having parents defending their kids behind these videos and going, well, it was because of peer pressure. Well, do you know what,
if I slap your kid out of peer pressure, then what, I'm going to get arrested.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you've still got to have those like boundaries to be like, your kid's behaving in an inappropriate way, and these kids grow up to be criminals because then there's no structure, there's no one telling
them they're
wrong. You can keep telling your kid their shit don't stink, their shit stinks
100% and it goes down the toilet, like we can see it, we can see your trail of shit
and the trail of destruction you're leaving behind for society just isn't one that we all want to see.
No,
but I think Donna's got to get away because Donna's actually, it's her birthday. Happy birthday to
me.
Happy birthday to you. Right, we're not going to put the whole song. She's really late. Yeah. And as you say, our appointments constantly overlap. So she's now late for her makeup appointment.
Thank you. So I'm really sorry about this.
So I'll let you go and then I will
be back.
I'm going to finish this one with...
Do you want me to go and get...
I think Stu's going to come in.
I'll get Stu to fill in my place.
Stu.
He won't be as funny as me, obviously. He might look better in the chair, but he might, but he's not as funny as me. So remember that.
So, allowing a child to be themselves. That's really, really important, I think, because, you know, we're all individuals. We all have our own, like, passions, our own feelings, our own views and stuff like that. And I think, you know, certain kids do get taught to be one way, like in school particularly, are sort of told to behave in a particular way. And thinks particular views through peer pressure and things like that. So it's really important to went and mind your kid when they get home, who they are. Hello. Stu's going to come and do the last little bit because Donna's at to run off. Hello, Stu. How do you do?
I'm all right, thanks.
Stu, how do you do? Right, we've done a little poll. Was you listening next door?
I weren't.
You weren't? Oh,
couldn't hear it. But also... Yeah. How weird it is that this is the first time we've ever done a podcast in my life.
Is it? Mm. Oh, happy.
Which is weird because you're probably the longest running.
And I was the first time I've done a podcast was with you.
Yeah.
how the roles have reversed now.
So am I asking you questions off your phone?
I am going to read out, we've done a poll on social media about parenting. So I'm going to read out a couple of comments and then we'll just discuss what the comments were.
God, I've got to discuss stuff.
Yeah, you've got to discuss things. Got things got to come out of your mouth, words.
All right, sweet.
So we're asking what makes a good parent.
Yep.
And they put, one of the comments was, showing love and support. Have you been showing love and support as a parent? You're recently a parent. How old is she?
10 months.
10 months, yep. Yeah. She's a very happy baby, isn't she?
She is a very happy baby.
She's been keeping
I think I show support.
Yeah.
I guess I would say that, but...
How do you think that will go? Are you going to have more children?
I would.
Yeah.
I would have them now.
Yeah.
Literally right now. But Sarah was a bit... she gets really sick.
Oh, yeah. Awful.
For the whole time as well, for like the whole 9 months. Yeah. So for her, it was a little bit...
That's why men should be able to have babies. They should be able to have babies for us when we don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'd love another baby, but the thought of being pregnant like makes me...
What would you like? Was you good during pregnancy? Like,
I had horrendous childbirths.
Really?
So for me, it's more the fact that I thought I was going to die both times. I thought the baby was going to die both times.
Wow.
So it's like that whole, like, there wasn't the pregnancy so much, although I did get hormonally absolutely mental.
Mm.
Like, I genuinely feel like I had psychosis through both of my pregnancies. I was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to walk into the shop and just argue with people.
Wow.
Yeah. That wow. sort of shit.
Yeah. In answer to your question though, yeah, I think given that obviously I'm quite busy, it's probably the busiest I've ever been in my whole life. And it's one of them things you're trying to balance, obviously being a dad whilst starting a business, which I know that obviously women go through that too, but...
yeah, but you're very hands-on though. I do think you're very hands-on in, because I think like the typical mum and dad vibe is mum stays at home, dad goes to work, but you used to both work balance it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you'll have her, your little one at the studio sometimes and you're always with her quite a lot, which is really good because a lot of old style relationships, my one wasn't like that. Dad was always at work and I was always at home. Mm. So it's good that you're hands-on and you're showing her that hands-on support, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you're like more...
And she's at that stage where you come in from work and she's already like crawling towards you, so it's the best thing.
Yeah.
You've got no choice but to just spend the next
My
hour...
My kids crawl like, away from me when I come home now. It's quite annoying, but yeah, they're teenagers almost. But yeah, the baby thing, like missing those first moments, especially at 10 months, like the first milestones, like walking, like the first words and doing all those things when you're... away from them is the worst. And being, I think that's so important those first couple of years because that's when they get to know your smell and just how you are and stuff. Yeah, I think I do all right to love and support my kids. So maybe I'm a good parent. You wasn't here for the rest of it, but I pretty worked out I was a bad parent from all the comments. I like ticked all the bad parent ones and not so much the good parents.
Yeah, but everyone's trying their best, aren't they? Given that everyone's in different situations, different circumstances.
Yeah, and I'm proud of my kids. I've done a pretty good job how they've turned out. Like, I look at them and I think, oh, you're all right. Sometimes you're a bit of a knob, but most of the time...
But at least you're not always a knob.
No, and they do well at, you know, the teachers tell me... I remember we were in Asda once and my partner was around the thing and he saw one of the teachers and he had the teacher go, that little boy's my favourite boy at the whole school.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's my boy, because my boy's lovely. And I was like, oh, we've done all right.
Yeah, nice.
They obviously weren't listening to all the arguing.
Yeah.
So the other one, actually, you just picked up on this, was the biggest regret of your parenting journey. And you had actually put on there, well, you're talking about your career. So the comment that was put in here from James was, I wish I had worked less and stopped putting my career first.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's a battle, a massive battle when you're a parent to juggle between still wanting to achieve your goals and obviously still wanting to give the best to your child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when I found out my girlfriend was pregnant and obviously throughout the pregnancy, I was doing external film work. So I was doing a lot of stuff for like brands and stuff. So I'd have to travel out to them. But the thing is with that kind of filmmaking, it's very much like you might do one job that you get paid $5,000-$6,000 for and you're like, this is absolutely brilliant. But then you might get 3 months where you don't get any work. So it was really inconsistent. And when she said that she was pregnant, I was like, I need to find something that's really solid and really consistent. What was your question, Ben? I've fucking
about
lost myself.
About talking about your setting up your business and stuff. So you're saying
And spending time. That's it. So So that's why, effectively, really why I set up the podcast studio, because it keeps me in one location, it's consistent, and it means that obviously I can come and do shoots and then I can get back and be with her as well, which is, so it's more of a lifestyle business to me purely because of what you just said, because I don't want to get to 50, 60 years old and look back and be like, I spent my entire time like traveling around filming for different people, like worrying whether...
Which would have given you like the most amazing life experience to have done that, but at the same time, then you're always never going to, you know, you would never have experienced all that stuff with your family. Yeah. And you can always do that stuff when you're older, when your kids are older as well, still go and do all those like things. So definitely, but I mean, it must be, it's a struggle setting up a new business knowing you got a baby on the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And that must have been a massive financial strain, like to not have a bed and butter job.
All of yes to all of them, definitely. But the way I'm kind of looking at it at the minute is it's going to be that like struggle, that 6 to 9, maybe a year struggle of just constant struggle across all fronts. But when it's set up and it's all working and it's running, it's going to bring me more freedom, more time to spend at home. It's going to bring me more money than what I would have made before. So, and everyone, in, like everyone in my little family benefits from that. Do you know what I mean? Because they get me for more time. And yeah, like I say, like it genuinely is, what I do is genuinely like a lifestyle business. I'm not really that bothered about making 200 grand a month, as long as it makes plenty enough to pay all my bills, pay somebody to come in here and be a studio manager so that I can...
So you can be
dad. Literally everything is geared towards me just wanting to...
And that's literally sort of, just from her being pregnant, your wife?
Girlfriend.
Being pregnant, that's just made you make that decision and transition. It's quite good, I suppose. Well, it's amazing, really. But a lot of people don't have that, the thought process to do that.
And I think because it's grown quite quickly... It's opened up new ideas for me to want to like build this whole studio, finish it, and then franchise that off to different places.
Yeah.
And then effectively I've got the option that when she's older, I could give her the business as well, which is a good thing as well, if she wanted to. Wanted to do that, obviously.
And obviously as well, if you want to pick up extra income and stuff like that, you could do your little weekends where you go and do like odd little bits and stuff
Of course,
It's a very good little plan. I wish I had a good one like that when my kid was little. My plan was like, get rich... And it didn't happen. I set up my...
You do well, though. You've got good businesses.
Now, but then when I was younger, when my daughter... I was pregnant. My daughter was 1 or 2. We opened up a barbershop. That was doing really well. Then we... I was pregnant with my son, I opened up a beauty salon, a tanning salon. And I hated because it was such a struggle.
Mm.
You know, I couldn't afford the staff. I couldn't afford to really train anyone. Like, I had to do everything myself. And then him growing up, he was in a lot of childcare with my mum, my sister. Mm-hmm. He was in like nursery and like missing because I was literally at work from like 3, 6 months old. So same as you, like trying to run a business.
Yep.
And I had to be at work constantly. So I lost all of those moments of those first like steps and getting sent video of your kid doing those first moments was horrible. But at the time I was so, you know, caught up in having more because I don't think it was even for the fact of the future of the kids. I think at that time it was
just
about
the
me.
Time you just wanted
it was just
more.
So I really had we had a barbershop, it's making money. We didn't need more at that time.
Yeah.
So I made the wrong decision then, which now I look back and I think that's why it didn't work out probably because it's for the wrong reasons really.
Mm,
but yeah, it's always a constant battle to try and work out. And a lot of people put children on having hold,
having children on hold. Yeah,
that's the one. Yeah, because they want to have their career first.
Yep.
And then they end up getting to like 40, 45 and they go, oh fuck, I haven't had my kids because I've been so concerned about having the right amount of money bank, having the house, having the amazing marriage and stuff like that.
When you can really just kind of figure that stuff out.
You do, don't you? You just figure it out.
And do you know what as well? Another thing I noticed is even the times, especially like at the start of starting our business, like if you're just about making enough to like pay for the studios, to pay for your mortgage, to pay for everything, even that, whereas that used to like sort of worry me a little bit, even though I don't really ever get worried about money, don't really ever let it bother me. Like all of that just completely goes because just that's the best is just spending time with them. That's what I noticed with it as well. That's just the
and
that
obviously
is
you believe
way
in the law
more
of
important.
Attraction, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to worry about money anyway. Yeah. It finds its way back to you. That's how it goes.
We'll have to do a whole podcast one time. Just
When I was in the booth next door, I saw a couple of books that I haven't read actually. I was like, I might have a go at reading those.
Borrow them if you want. Yeah,
The
Science Behind the Secret.
Because I've read The Secret and The Magic, so I might have a go on those. Anyway, back to this. What's this one? Biggest regret. Okay. Oh, this one's harsh. Not using a condom.
What's my opinion on it?
No. Someone put a comment in saying biggest regret is not using a condom.
That's harsh.
Mean. That's harsh. I think it's a joke, right? I put laugh so I won't put the name on just in case. I don't want to get any backlash from that.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's pretty serious though. Cheating on my wife and losing my family.
Wow.
That must be pretty bad. That must be a pretty horrible situation to go through. But yeah, that's the thing of crossing boundaries and things like that, isn't it?
I don't have an opinion on that because I'm a very good boy.
Yeah.
I actually am. I'm very proud of myself.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. And if I had to give anyone any piece of advice, it would...
Keeping
your pants. But also just... me and my girlfriend talk about stuff like that sometimes. Like, one of the things that I'm... If you never tell a lie, you never have to remember. There's a saying like that. I probably hammered it. But it's something like that. And it's basically like, if you never lie, then you never have to worry about ever getting caught out on something. And it's the same thing when you're in a relationship as well. I don't know why I'd be giving advice on that just off what you just said. That's obviously a shit show.
You don't lie
in the situation.
To your wife, your girlfriend.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think I'm good. And I don't like... I don't think I do anything inappropriate either.
Yeah.
Not anything that I wouldn't want done to me.
But your girlfriend's must be quite accepting then. She's not like someone that reacts.
She's accepting.
So that's good, yeah.
Because obviously having the business that I'm in a room for sometimes 2-3 hours with just girls, do you know what I mean? And I'm in here listening to conversations about people talking about sex and everything else.
I don't know who you listen to.
Listened to 18 episodes of you guys talking about a lot of stuff, but she is. She's fully accepting. I mean, she shares all of our posts, she shares all of our wins and stuff, which is really good. But more just specifically on that point, just that that's obviously a shit thing. Obviously, if you've cheated on a partner 100%, and lost out your whole family, I can't think of anything worse than that.
Yeah, and I don't think that when people do silly things like that, they realise the repercussions that what it can have to a family. Mm. And, you know, one of those is that, your wife or your girlfriend may leave you and maybe you're not going to see your kids every morning. It's not just about breaking your girlfriend's heart. You might hate at the time and you might go out and do that as like a, I don't know, whatever situation might occur. But as a, not even a thinking thing, you might just do it because you're drunk or whatever. But the repercussions of that is that you're not going to wake up with your children.
Exactly.
Even if you go for access or stuff like that. And it must be horrible for the children to have to go through losing their father or even their mum, vice versa. It could happen on the other side as well. The other one was being too strict. So we've actually, I was watching, this is so unrelated, but it kind of is. I was watching the thing about the serial killer, thing it's called What Jennifer Did on Netflix.
Oh yeah, that's quality, isn't it?
Really interesting though, because...
The one who killed her mum and shot the dad.
So just, the reason, obviously it's not the reason she did it, but it was a hell of a long time that she was sort of like a cultural thing. Like it was very strict. She was told she wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend. Yeah, she had to be academic. She had to go into the pharmaceutical or the medical trade. They basically controlled her whole life, which spiraled into her potentially having some sort of mental health problems and, then doing what she did. Mm. But you do kind of look at it and think, maybe if they hadn't have done all those horrible things, that she wouldn't have reacted in the way that she did.
Mm.
And I do see a lot of, like, my partner's a teacher, so he comes home and he talks about, like, the different cultures and how that they do school their children, how much more strict our certain cultures are, and that the kids are just terrified. They come into parents' evening, they're sat next to their parents and they're like, really scared of what the teachers are going to say of them. Whereas the English, us English students and stuff, we'll be in, they're all like messing around their way of life is completely different. Mm. But at the same time, there are a lot of kids that come from strict households that achieve amazing, And the stricter, like in sports as well, the stricter the coach, the more strict the coach is. That says shutdown.
What does?
Over there. Is that all right?
That's the screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just the monitor screen.
Yeah, so...
not the actual camera.
Yeah, it's not necessarily always a bad thing. I mean, obviously, if it turns into abuse, it's slightly worse. But, you know, being strict... I didn't come from a strict upbringing, did you?
No, not really, to be honest. I was really lucky. I mean, my mum... I'm a proper mum's boy anyway. And my mum has always been... everyone kind of laughs at her because it's like, if I ask my mum to go and do something, she'll just go and do it immediately, no matter what she's doing.
Oh, so wow.
She's very much a wonderful mum. And my dad... I mean, yeah, my dad was... but I was firm, but he was like, I mean, I was a little shit when I was a kid, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think my dad was fine in that sense. I definitely don't come from like a strict family.
No. And were you pressured at school to like do well at school? Or?
Not pressured, but it was drummed into me how important it was to be there. They definitely weren't like relaxed, and I definitely was scared when the teachers would call my parents in or whatever if I'd done something. Yeah, definitely was scared.
My parents
of that.
Never went to parents' evening. I was sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know. It's different when it comes to like my daughter, for example. I think because. I mean, this is could be such a long-winded answer, but because I've lived quite an eclectic life, like I've been on like music tours and film people. I've been traveling around the world. I've found myself in the weirdest locations and places and times and things, what I would call the law of attraction moments that other people would probably never get to do, being on film sets with Guy Ritchie, et cetera, and all of that stuff. It's made me be a person that I've just fully believed that my daughter can do whatever she wants. And I know that's probably not the best way to look at it. I know that she needs to go to school and get an education, but I'm just, at the minute, I'm like, I can't.
I've got a law of attraction. I don't
just such a blank canvas. You can do whatever
want. Oh my God, I'm so on the same page as you.
You can actually do whatever you want. Yeah. And I think, because like I was saying to you before, I've got to, like I'm 38 now. I'm old as shit.
Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, I'm old now. But I've only started... I wouldn't even call myself successful. I still wouldn't ever do that just because I think it's embarrassing. But I've done all right.
Yeah.
But I've only really been doing all right in the last couple of years.
Mm.
Prior to that, even up to at 30, I still lived at home with my mum and dad. Like I haven't really experienced success in my life because I've been such a floater that kind of just goes through life doing whatever
but
I want to enjoy in my moments.
To someone like me that hasn't done that.
Mm.
It's very successful to someone that hasn't travelled and hasn't had those experiences. It's not necessarily about finances, is it? Or about what you've got on pen and paper.
Happy,
it's about life.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I've always been super happy. But I think all of those experiences together has made me realise that maybe like when my mum and dad were younger and they had me and I was super young, we didn't really live in a world where you could go and make money online or make money through TikTok or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
It was all like academic, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
so it was probably, they probably were a bit more like, no, you need to do good at school because you need to get a good job. You need to, whereas everyone was like that back then. Whereas
so
I think
now. We're in the entrepreneur revolution now. Like,
yeah, now I wouldn't be like that. I would just be, I mean, I want my daughter to fight in the UFC, to be honest, but
yeah.
She can do whatever she wants. And I don't care.
I don't know if I could do my daughter with that. No, my son definitely, even not my daughter. But yeah, I know what you mean. And like, because my daughter was in full-time education until she was about 10.
Mm.
So she's now, I took her out of school because she just couldn't cope with how it works.
What did you
have
to do in that situation?
I just deregistered her. That's illegal. You can do that legally. Your children do not have to sit GCSEs. That's completely rubbish. And a lot of people are lied to about that. So when I learned about how I can deregister my child and I can teach her how I want her to be taught, she can obviously go through the GCSE route. She can still go and sit all the exams, but whatever you want to do is your choice. So I deregistered her because she couldn't learn at school. Mm. She just could not learn there. We took her home and she learned in so many other ways. And now she's got, like, she just messaged me during this podcast, "Mom, can you send me that logo I designed? Because I want to put it on my social media." So she's doing like she's got her own little business that she's setting up.
Mm.
She wouldn't be doing that in school.
Yeah,
and I know exactly what you mean. Like, now she's able to explore what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And there's so many opportunities for her. Mm. However, if she wanted to go back to school, she'd go back tomorrow. But, you know, we'll see how that works out.
And don't you think as well, just before, I know you're about to close it, but just don't you think as well that for me now, I think even if she gets to like 20, 21, 22 and she's had like four businesses and they've failed and shit, I still wouldn't care. Mm. I'd still be like fully supporting you. Just go and try something else. Do exactly. another one. Maybe I'll be too lenient as a parent. But
because I feel like some people sit in the same job for 40 years and they're miserable and yeah. that's not living. That's just existing. And I'd rather fail and I'd rather fail myself or my children to fail to experience failing and rebuilding yourself and that recovery and that excitement that you get. Because I get super excited when I set up businesses. Yeah. Need to stop doing it though. I need to just stick at a few.
Yeah.
Right, last one on the cards is not getting, this is the biggest regret parenting journey, not getting my own therapy before becoming a parent. Did you get that one?
I did. I was just checking your cards on there because I think you've got about 5 minutes left on that cam.
Oh, okay. So this is the timer here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, should we wrap it up then now?
Yeah, you can ask this question though.
Not getting own therapy before becoming a parent. The thing is with me, I didn't realise I needed therapy till I had my children. I gave birth to my daughter and then realised, whoa, like, how could anyone, like, cause for me, I was like, how could anyone want to hurt this child? How could anyone do something nasty? And that made me reevaluate my childhood and go, whoa, someone done that to me. And I was such an innocent, you know, and that's when I felt I needed therapy. Before that, I didn't even think about it. So I don't think a lot of people realise the impact of when you have a child and you start thinking about your own childhood, if it was particularly a bad one, then it can make you sort of question certain things. But however, I went and had my therapy after my children were born. It took some time. I went through some good and bad times, you know, but I got through it and my kids have turned out to be amazing. So, you know, it's not always about, you know, that's not a regret that you, I would say, was a choice for someone to put that in on the poll. It's probably, you just probably didn't realise you needed it or, and you know, we're all doing our best. Like you said, you're all doing your best as your parent, as a parent, that's all you can do. And if you feel like you need to reach out for help, there's loads of help out there now, loads of free helplines for mental health, like NHS talking therapies, there's free services. So yeah, just give them a call and, you know, or even chat to your friends or Man Cave. Ladies Lodge, what's it called? The Lodge.
The Lodge.
The Lodge. Went to their launch party. Very nice. I like the cakes. And I'm going back to that. Going to their meeting on Wednesday tomorrow night. Yeah. Nice. But thank you so much for coming and filling in for Donna.
Yep, no worries.
She's run away for her birthday.
Yep, good to be here.
Cool. Thanks very much.
No worries.
Thanks. Bye.